We've got, so we're talking about the Hills lawsuit. I have it. I hear an echo. Do you hear it?
Let me, I think it might be my phone.
Oh,
No, it's just, no.
let me see.
Hold on. Let me fix this.
Okay.
Because I do hear you here and I shouldn't.
Yeah.
There, I dropped it.
Is that okay? Yeah. I think that's better. I think so.
I always do it before and some for some reason it doesn't change.
Yeah. I know. Same. The so we're talking about the lawsuit that was filed against Hill's Pet Food and a number of named veterinarians today. So this lawsuit is very interesting to me, but
Now I can't
I'm
get this back, sorry.
oh
Just don't mind me, don't mind me.
it's so very interesting to me. And also really, really, really sad. I think I'm in a bummer mood today anyway.
No bummer moods. I'm just kidding. You can be
I know.
whatever mood you want to be in, actually.
No, yeah, honest, like it doesn't matter what mood I'm in. If Isabel is around, she's like, no bad moods.
Only, that's not true. I can get in a mood myself. I wish there was only happiness when I was around, but yeah, no, we're gonna have a good time today.
Yes. And next week, we're gonna be in the same
Together.
place. In the same place. It's
We
gonna be
sure
so
are.
fun next week. And I had an idea about that, so I'll talk to you about it maybe closer to the end. So February 6th of this year, 2024. There's so many interesting things about this lawsuit. The very first interesting thing is that it's a class action and there's only one named defendant. Is that what I'm looking for? Keto Pet? The
No, they would be the plaintiff, right?
plaintiff? Okay, there you go. See how good I am at legal stuff. Yeah.
The one who brings the case
The one
against
who
another
is
person is the plaintiff,
plaintiff.
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So they're the only one named. But it is a class action. So that's a very first, like, unusual thing to me. But what do you think about that?
I mean, when you hear class action, you think lots of people. Like, I rarely do even see two people, like two organizations, entities, individuals involved in class actions. Usually, class action seems to imply that lots of people are involved, lots of entities. So it is interesting. I wonder if it's that Keto Pet is Keto Pet like a brand of food
So
that is individual?
Keto Pet Natural Pet Foods. And they okay, yes. So I should have looked, I should have just pulled it up on the screen because I have the actual court document pulled up. They filed in Kansas, and the only plaintiff, that is the right word, thank you, is but it says Keto Natural Pet Foods Inc. Individually and on behalf of all others similarly situated. So I feel like that's just a,
Yeah, that's
we're
it.
gonna bring a whole lot more people in here, and or there are a whole lot more companies that just don't want to be named yet.
Oh, for sure. This is gonna turn into something big, and it. I think it's exactly as it should be. I think this is exactly where I saw this going. I saw this going here because of so many like allegations that were made. DCM. Being caused by grain-free foods and the FDA getting involved. And you and I like just touched on this briefly last week when we were talking individually. But there was a lot of alleged foul play here. So like I feel like the more we dig into this, like I personally since this started have been like, what is this? Not this is not quite right. But the more we uncover, the more the dark darker this gets, right? Like the more surprising and shady and messy this gets. And so I'm glad we're talking about it because what we know now, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of updates in the future. So we'll start with like a baseline, I guess. If you don't mind, I would like you to be the one who explains DCM, what it is, and why grain-free foods were implicated in it by Hills and whomever it is else that did this.
Yes. So DCM, prior to all of this, we really thought of it as like a genetic condition. It was like more prevalent in certain breeds of dogs, but basically it just causes an enlarged heart muscle. So dilated cardiomyopathy. So cardio, we're talking about the heart, and so the heart chambers actually become dilated. It becomes really hard for the heart to actually pump blood through. It can cause like buildup of fluids because of, I mean, when we think of the heart, and I guess it depends on how much information, like you have, if you've ever dealt with it before, then obviously you know everything there is to know about heart disease and heart issues. But there's like this lining around the heart, and that can build up with fluid. So there are animals with heart disease where, if you've ever heard of going to the vet and having fluid drained, it happens with the heart, it happens with the lungs.
Lungs, yeah.
Yes. And so like there's this fluid buildup, but it the heart, it, the dilation, dilated, right? The dilation of the valves around the heart makes it really difficult to pump, get blood
Right.
pumping through. So it isn't a pleasant diagnosis by any means. And we knew previously that nutrient deficiencies could cause heart issues. Do you remember back when, gosh, I don't even remember how long ago it was, all these cats were having heart problems, and they figured out it was because there wasn't enough taurine in the commercial diets available to them.
Right.
And that caused every company to add taurine to their diets. And people, I think, are like hyper aware of that when it comes to their cats. At least what I see, people are like, oh my God, they find recipes online or whatever, and they're like, does this have enough taurine? That's the first question anybody asks. Like it's in our heads now. And I think as a reaction to this whole thing, the DCM with dogs issue, when was this? 2018, I think it started. I don't remember
He's
exactly.
if
Yeah,
not
I think it was
earlier,
18.
maybe even
That
earlier.
was, again, one of the reactions that some pet food companies had, especially these grain-free diets. They said, okay, well, we're adding taurine. Because if you're saying that this is causing heart problems, if you're saying that there isn't enough taurine, we're adding taurine.
Right.
I don't know how necessary that was, especially now that we have more information.
Well, I mean, I think that we have more information than no information,
Yes.
right? Like we still, so apparently, so DCM is the issue.
Yes.
DCM, veterinarians started seeing high levels or high numbers of DCM diagnoses higher than usual. And of course, for this particular issue, they looked at food. Rarely do they look at food, but for
Yes.
this particular issue, they looked at food and they started to say, well, a lot of these dogs who are getting DCM and they're not as old as they could be, or they don't have the genetic predisposition based on their breed. All of these, they found like a tie, a supposed tie, an alleged tie to grain-free diets. So grain-free kibble, I think was the specific kind of culprit. And so was it Hills, from my understanding, was the one that kind of like cried like foul against all the grain-free food manufacturers. Hill's is the creator or the manufacturer of most of your prescription dog and cat food. So my dog Socks was on Hill's prescription diet because she had crystals in her urine, and I was told as newer pet parent that that was the only diet that was going to allow her to live a normal life without urinating constantly. That is not true. I can, if somebody ever gets that kind of diagnosis or has the conversation with their veterinarian about that, you're welcome to message me because I'll talk you through what actually ended up happening with her. But she was on raw food for a really long time and did fantastic on it. But for years she was on Hill's science diet. I think it was CD. And the first ingredient there, ironically, is corn. So she was on that food for like 6 years, and it was like 60% corn. So of course, this is like the opposite of a grain-free diet, right? Like this is a diet full of grains. And so Hills was the first one to say like something's going on with these grain-free foods. It almost was like a hypothesis got blown into this huge thing, and then the FDA got involved. And from my understanding, there was subsequent testing and research done. But I won't get into that right now. I do want to get into this, but like the research was very inadequate. The research was very limited, and it did not actually test for other conditions that cause DCM. So you're taking all these dogs that have DCM and you're not testing them for any other condition that could cause DCM. You're just checking what food they're on and that they have DCM, and now your research shows that the food is causing DCM. But we're not checking again for other conditions that are comorbid with DCM. So that is basically like the short version of this whole situation. And now I would like you to tell us, after this research, inadequate research, limited research was done, I want to hear it from you because I know what happened, but what happened? Nothing.
Yeah.
Other
Well,
than
and
nothing.
the no, yeah, nothing. Well, and I think what is also interesting is that it was plausible because when we remove the grain from the diet, if you're making a kibble especially, you have to have some sort of starch in there to bind
Yes.
everything together. So they're adding legumes, they're adding chickpeas and lentils and things like that. And they do create large number, like if we were to feed a really, really high amount of legumes, they do create these like anti-nutrients.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the term is escaping me at the moment, but they do create these anti-nutrients, and they could inhibit absorption of nutrients in the food. So that's plausible. And what everybody kind of ran with and still could happen. Like I don't want to say that that would never ever happen. If you're feeding large amounts of legumes, it's still a possibility. But that was like the whole basis for this thing is like, I want to say what I know now but I don't want to say what I know now. I want to like get to what we know now from the court filing. Basically, what they were saying is that, okay, you've got all of these boutique grain-free foods and they don't have grain in them. Oh my gosh, your dogs need grain
Yeah.
and is causing all of these heart issues. And we'll talk about the studies that they did in a minute. And oh my gosh, I mean, even if you walk into the veterinarian's office today, they're going to tell
Today,
you to
today.
feed a diet that has grains in it to your pet, to your dog. So this was incredibly successful, an incredibly successful campaign. But basically the FDA was like, we're on it, we're researching this, we're trying to figure out what happened. And everybody was talking about it, and all of the veterinarians online were talking about it, and every veterinarian in the country was like sending out mailers to, their whole list and their client base. And if you're feeding a grain-free diet, we need to switch your dog back to a grain-inclusive diet, blah, 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 all the things. And one day, FDA simply, very quietly, closed the case. They updated the post on their website, sent out no notifications to anyone, and it said, we didn't find any links. Basically, we don't know what happened, and they closed the case.
And they didn't make any announcements
No
about it.
announcements.
The AVMA announced something relating to it in February of 2023 when the FDA closed the case in December of
December.
2022.
Yeah.
The FDA did not really share their research. Also, that's something that I want to dig into just because they were researching, and they did research, right? But they didn't really share the research. And I know that because last year, literally this week last year, I was at the Texas Pet Sitters Conference, and there's a doctor by the name of Roy Madigan, and he is in Texas, and he's working with Texas A&M on Chagas disease. So Chagas disease can cause DCM. Chagas is a parasite transmitted by the kissing bug, and it is like you said. Now all veterinarians think grain-free diets are bad. Many or most veterinarians in the US think Chagas is just a like developing nation issue. So that they are taught that it does not exist here in the US, which it does. And this doctor, Roy Madigan, here in Texas, has proven that it's very much an issue in Texas and the South at large. So he was presenting about Chagas so that we could learn as professional pet sitters what the symptoms are, what the signs are, you know, what how it's caused, what to do if we see a kissing bug. Hint, don't squish them because you're literally that parasite. You're going to, you know,
Let
put
it
it all over
out.
your house.
Yeah.
So he's giving us all these things, and at toward the end he says, you know, the FDA like demonized legumes. Lentils are not probably not the problem. You know what the problem really is that they never tested these dogs for Chagas. These dogs that were in a trial about DCM were not tested for Chagas. How does he know that? Because he had to call the FDA, jump all those hoops, get through all the bureaucracy, and ask somebody, hey, by chance, did you test for this? And they were like, oh, no, we didn't. We didn't even know to test for it. So they, and then he, of course, knowing all the a lot of other conditions that can lead to DCM, was like, did you test for this? And did you test for that? And did you test for this? And they were like, no, not that either, not that either. So this was last year, February of 2023, when he was educating us on that. And that's when I learned that the FDA had closed the case. Like, I had not heard anything until he said, and going back to this legume debacle, there's nothing like that's it. They said that they don't have enough proof. And I literally at that conference went to the FDA website and was like, oh yeah, they just closed the case. And it was like they have this whole, you know, they have this whole finding, the research, you know, all the things. And then at the bottom, they have this tiny little thing like updated December 17, 2022, that says like no correlation has been found. Therefore, do what you will. Like basically like make your own decision.
We don't know. And it what's also there's just so many interesting things going on here. It's now knowing what we know now about what has been filed in this court case, which we will talk about in just a minute, because there are so many juicy nuggets in the court filing. It makes me wonder if the FDA realized that they were bamboozled and were like, yeah, we don't want egg on our face. We're just gonna quietly close this.
Interesting.
Like, we're just gonna quietly close this and
Well,
leave it be. Like, I can't prove that,
right, no.
obviously. I just wonder.
Am I able to talk about what you told me, where there was like certain veterinarians were asked to only say certain things, or only like they were given very specific instructions, allegedly, about how to report to the FDA. So like, I
It's
feel like
in the
the
court
FDA
document.
was bamboozled for sure, just like the rest of us were. But I mean, obviously, we don't know if they realized it or if they're maybe learning
So
that
I
now.
do think that they were, but they could have done
Oh, yeah.
more to figure it out. Like they, all of the information they were getting in, they should have asked more questions. They should have, first of all, why would we let these veterinarians with, I mean, basically working for Hills, why would they be the ones allowed to do this research? That I don't under so
That's
the whole every,
research. That's
right? The
science
whole
sometimes.
thing is just blows my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's okay. So keto natural pet foods, individually and on behalf of whoever else we don't know yet, is the plaintiff. They filed against Hill's Pet Nutrition, a subsidiary of Colgate-Palmolive, Morris Animal Foundation, Mark Morris Institute, Lisa M. Freeman, who's a veterinarian, Darcy B. Aden, who's a veterinarian, Joshua Stern, Ryan Fries, Josh. These are all veterinarians who were like intimately involved with Hills, and the research being done and the information being sent out to other veterinarians. I mean, these research foundations are what our veterinary community, that's where they get a lot of the information from. And, some veterinarians are really, really good at looking through that, and most don't have the time to pay any attention to who's behind the funding of research projects,
Of
right?
course not. And but that's the problem with research is that
Yeah.
we should that should be the first thing we are given.
Yeah, but it is really,
Should be.
really interesting that they named, that's another interesting thing, they named certain
Yeah.
veterinarians. They're like, you intentionally defrauded people.
Well, I'm looking at the AVMA
Allegedly.
announcement that was made. Yeah, it was made a February it was updated February 11, 2023, and like even though there was nothing found, it's still the way that it's worded is still demonizing grain-free diets. So like it's in the same article, it's telling us that the FDA found no correlation or causal it was not able to establish a causal relationship. And it also ends with a doctor saying, from my personal impression, I believe the incidence of disease related to DCM has reduced over the past couple of years for various reasons, including public awareness and reduced frequency of feeding diets associated with this disorder. So even though the research says nothing,
Nothing.
it doesn't say yes, it
Yeah.
doesn't say no, it says nothing, this person is still. Whom I don't know him. I don't know anything about him or her. Honestly, it does. I don't. Oh yeah, it's a him. I don't know anything about this doctor, but I know that this doctor is still kind of pushing this agenda without any kind of proof. So I mean, it's only. I was. It was only a matter of time before some one of these brands that was demonized and lost a ton of market share and suffered. Brand. Their brand suffered, the brand name suffered, the brand recognition suffered. It was only a matter of time before they went after these doctors or these brands that kind of brought this to the forefront. And by the way, it is crazy how this made such an impact when, not to say that this is like not important, but between January 1st, 2014 through November 1st, 2022, the FDA received 1,382 reports of DCM in dogs, with the majority of reports received between 2018 and 2020. That was it. That it was 1,382 reports. We have more for
And
recalls that nothing happens.
absolutely. Yeah, that's what Dr. Judy Morgan was talking about. And I didn't get to watch the whole video, but she did a video, I think, last week about
Yes.
this whole thing, or might have been the week before. And she was like, if we actually go back and look at the numbers, which, by the way, and we'll talk about in just a minute, were cherry picked. They were incredibly cherry picked numbers. If we actually go back and look at the numbers, like you said, we don't want this to happen to any animal. So we're not saying like, oh,
Yeah,
psh, what,
exactly.
no big deal. Like, it is a big deal for those individual animals and those families. It is a big deal. I want to just like clarify that. It's a very big deal. But statistically speaking, it's not. I may get crap for saying that, but yeah, that's true. So, but one of the things that was listed in the court documents that Susan Thixton pointed out, it was the Dr. Freeman, who was one of the named defendants, from an email that Dr. Freeman typed out regarding or his recommended protocol for the DCM thing. And what's really, really interesting about this section about the DCM protocol is that it basically says, we're only reporting these DCM cases to the FDA if they're eating a boutique or exotic or grain-free diet. So basically, if they're eating any Hill's products or grain-inclusive products, they were, as part of their protocol, were not being reported to the FDA.
That's
So they were
crazy.
cherry-picking the information.
I guess my question there is, did the FDA know that this was the
Right.
instruction? Because
Yes.
I'm
It was
not a,
an email from Dr. Freeman to the FDA
that is my
discussing
mind blowing.
what the protocol
That
is.
is mind blowing. Because this is the thing, I always try to give people or organizations the benefit of the doubt, right? Because
Right.
organizations are run by
Right.
people. So there's always a person behind that decision. I mean, for now, until AI takes over everything. But
Yeah.
I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. So, okay, so the people at the FDA didn't know about Chagas disease. They didn't know that Chagas disease causes DCM. They didn't know about all the other conditions that could lead to DCM. I mean, they should have experts on the panels that know this, but maybe they didn't. But I have a really hard time with the FDA having known that this was being tested in a very shady way. Even if it's not intentionally
Yeah.
shady, it could look shady.
Right.
So somebody at the FDA should have been like, that doesn't look right. That doesn't
Right.
sound right.
Yes.
That is not how we test hypotheses.
Right.
Like, this is how we demonize products rather than test hypotheses. Because this is really, it was like so blatant. I'm like shocked by that.
Yeah. Well, and so one of the reasons listed in the court document as to why Hill's is being called out specifically, whereas, out of the big three, so Hill's, Mars, Purina are the big three, and Hill's is being called out specifically because they, right prior to this happening, lost a lot of market share to these boutique diets. Specifically, Blue Buffalo overtook them for the number three spot, and Hill's got bumped down to number four. And so that was the reason given as to why Hill's had so much to gain by
Motive,
doing
yeah,
this.
right.
Yes.
Yes, and I mean, it's a convincing motive, right? Like, I mean, especially when you see that it wasn't done ethically, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, one thing is, again, I give people and organizations the benefit of the doubt. One thing is, we really do have this concern. It's been brought up to our lab. It's the reason we're not doing grain free.
Yeah.
Like, give me all the reasons that make sense.
Right.
Don't give me, market share reasons, because at the end of the day, like, they could have gone about gaining back their market share a much more ethical way, if that's, what caused it, right? Allegedly.
Right.
So I it's really disappointing to even hear that that's like reality, because business is business, but come on, like, leverage some other way, not at the expense of companies that are, joining competition. I mean, that's free market, right?
Yeah, well, and it kind of went on to say that that was their motive, right? But also how they were able to be so successful in what they were doing is because, again, Hill's has the biggest tie to the veterinary community, as you were saying at the beginning of this, that they are the primary veterinary prescription. I don't remember which one. One of them is a veterinary diet, one of them is a prescription diet.
Prescription diet.
I don't remember
Yeah.
which one is which,
At least when
but
Socks was on
yeah,
it, it was a prescription diet.
prescription diet. Yes.
Yeah.
So, which is insanity, and I hope that designation at some point gets taken
Yeah,
away
it's still on
because
their
we
website,
could
Hill's Prescription Diet Pet
we
Foods. Yep.
well, both veterinary and prescription diets are just like the biggest scam in
Yeah.
all of veterinary medicine. And we could do a whole other episode about that, but they are just the biggest scam. The fact that you have to get a prescription from a veterinarian to buy a product that has no medication whatsoever in it is beyond, it's just beyond me. But I'm gonna stop talking about it,
No,
otherwise we'll just take over.
I will only add that as the person who was feeding this for 6 years to a dog, I can't tell you how difficult they make it to get it,
They
like on a
do.
Saturday
They
when your
do.
prescription ran out, and they're like, I refuse. And I'm like, I can't feed anything else. So
Yeah.
not only is it predatory, right? To like make people buy something that is a prescription product for a lot more that doesn't actually have medication in it, but it's also really difficult for pet parents and not user-friendly at all. And it causes so much stress. And then, really, what was I supposed to feed my dog who had been on this for 5 years on that Saturday that PetSmart or whomever wouldn't sell it to me? You
Yeah.
know what I mean? And this
Well,
was before, Chewy and like, delivery. So this was really, it was like, I couldn't go anywhere else. I couldn't find a prescription. My vet was closed. An emergency vet's not giving you that prescription, right? So if it were a true prescription, you could walk your dog into the emergency vet and be like, my dog ran out of XYZ
Whatever, yeah.
and I need a refill. Please, I'll pay for the full workup, but can I get more of that medicine? That's not how it works with these prescription diets because most emergency vets don't even carry them. So it was super difficult from the pet parent's perspective. Not healthy for my dog and expensive.
Yeah.
Expensive.
And I mean,
Very
to talk
expensive.
about predator, I think I don't know anybody who hasn't been there with this predator. Like when Riley had, my cat Riley had a urinary blockage, I went ahead and got him the urethrostomy. So that was all good. But I mean, I literally had multiple vet techs come up to me as I was checking out because I declined the prescription diet. Multiple vet techs come up to me telling me that I was killing my cat by not accepting this diet. Meanwhile, 9 years later, he's chugging along and wonderful because I didn't give him
Probably. You
that
know, this is the thing about all this is the thing about that's so frustrating is that obviously veterinarians are going to follow the AVMA. The AVMA is going to follow the FDA. But also there are those vested interests where the AVMA's conferences are sponsored by XYZ big brand. XYZ veterinary school is sponsored by XYZ pharmaceutical. So you stop having third party relationships that are just third party relationships. Now you have vested interests and you have sketchy situations like where, like I'm gonna file this to the FDA and I'm gonna tell all these veterinarians who profit off of my product to do XYZ, and because they trust me, because I always think veterinarians do the best for their pet, the pets in their care. I always think that they have the best of intentions, but they were taught by these companies that this is the best product. And because their main association, the AVMA, told them to trust them, that's why they trust them. So it's like, it's this really crazy, vicious cycle where we're all a bunch of idiots on the receiving end of this advice that may not be safe at all, but that some person up way above any of our, statures or clout is making decisions that affect our everyday life and our pets' lives. And it's really frustrating, especially when something as serious as this allegation changed so the way so many people fed their dogs. I did not fall for it. My dogs, the other ones, were on grain free. They've always been on grain free. Like, it's fine for me. Like, they've never had any issues. Still do grain free. Again, I never saw anything convincing that would tell me otherwise. Like, if I saw something convincing that would tell me at least, like, switch for a month, like, something might be tainted, I would do that. But, like, just change the diet completely forever based on nothing. I didn't make that change. But it did affect the way a lot of people fed their pets. It's still affecting the way people are feeding their pets. It's still impacting the advice that veterinarians give, even though the case was closed. Like, that's so frustrating because, again, the veterinarians are not given the actual facts. Like, they're given, yeah, they're being given like the PR facts, I guess.
Absolutely.
I don't like that.
So
As you can
the
tell.
poor financial performance. What is this? Okay, it says this is a quote from the court document. It says, Thus, beginning no later than 2018, Hills and a cluster of associated entities and individuals, which we listed as the defendants earlier, embarked on a drastic and unlawful course to reverse this slide, talking about their loss in market share. They carried out a scheme to falsely convince American dog owners that a massive, unrelated, and hugely diverse group of dog food products, essentially any product made by any of the hundreds of independent firms that were collectively eroding Hill's market share, all increased the risk and severity of a deadly canine heart disease called dilated cardiomyopathy. To carry out the scheme, Hills, along with a group of closely bound academic veterinarians and front organizations operating on Hill's behalf, acted in a coordinated conspiracy. First and most explosively, the veterinarian defendants fraudulently induced the United States Food and Drug Administration to launch a high-profile investigation into DCM. The second strand of defendant scheme, Hill's co-conspirators, the veterinarian defendants, authored study after study about DCM and then mischaracterized the findings. They also created and fostered social media environments, including at least one Facebook group that was an echo chamber, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I mean, that was actually my first thought. As soon as I saw, I think it was Dr. Lori Kosher was the first one I saw post about this, like maybe February 7th, because I think this was filed on February 6th. My very first thought was, wow, these people are ballsy.
Yeah.
Because first of all, and I said this on my podcast episode that I did about this, any lawyer to actually file a lawsuit, like, you don't even really have to believe that the person
right.
is right or wrong.
No, yeah, your
Can
job
you
is
win
to
the
bring
case.
It to the court. Yeah.
Like, Can you
your
win the case?
Job, you, well, not, again, I live in La La Land, but for me, like, attorneys have to represent. That's their job. Their goal should always be to get the fair verdict, right? Whether it is guilty, whether it is innocent, whether it is, you know, a long sentence, mm-hmm. Reducing the sentence to where it's fair compared to other people and other areas where that crime has been committed. To me, that's what an attorney does. So an attorney brings this because they need representation, right? And this is, I'm sure this is a legal team that has tons of experience with class action suits.
Right.
And you know they wouldn't bring it if they didn't think that it was going to somehow benefit the
yeah.
plaintiff because of the expense involved. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, you know, an ethical law office is going to be like, you're going to spend a ton of money and I don't know that this is going to work out in your favor, right?
Right.
So obviously, and we're talking about this, and like, I'm wondering, and I already asked you this, but like, I don't know if you've changed your mind in the past week or after this discussion, but like, why can't the FDA also be implicated here?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because you're telling me that they knew the parameters
knew.
Of the study.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is very possible that the FDA could be implicated. But again, can you win that case? Like, that's just knowing people
yeah.
in the legal system, knowing lawyers, knowing, like, that
knowing
is
the
bottom.
Knowing the government, yeah.
That is like, the bottom line. Can you? Yeah. You're not going to file a case if you don't think you can win the case,
right.
or have a convincing enough argument to settle
right.
for a large sum of money.
Exactly. Exactly.
And,
exactly.
I mean, is that probably what's going to happen? Probably. I mean, these things always get settled, right? Hopefully not. I would love to see this go to trial.
That'd be interesting.
Probably won't happen. But I mean, the amount of information they must have, holy moly. Like, you have to be so and that's just on an average everyday, like, can I win this case or not? But to take on a company like Hills, which is Colgate Palmolive, like, that is huge money.
Yeah.
Huge
yeah.
money. I don't, they're ballsy. I'm just like.
So I don't know why I just decided that I had to look up. At some point, so let's talk about this. Let's go way back before this. At some point, somebody made an argument for grain-free diets, right? Somebody somewhere was like, this is healthier. Assuming, well, I'm assuming it was based on a study, based on some kind of results of even, sometimes it's anecdotal, but it's like enough that you can use to convince. I just did a search and I cannot find anything about grain-free diets that does not include this particular case. Like literally, I went back to 2004 news grain-free diet dog, 2000 news grain-free diet dog, because that's about when we started kind of talking about 2000, say let's say 2005, 2010. There should be something telling us as pet parents to use grain-free diets because a lot of us switched around that time, but I can't find anything that is not related to this case. So like we're not getting the information we need, right? Like I want to see why Blue Buffalo decided to formulate that way. I want to see why all these boutique companies formulated that way, because something obviously convinced them that that was a better
Well,
option.
and I do think, just as a consumer trying to remember back then, like Blue Buffalo had some incredible marketing, and it was all tied to feed
Grain
your
free.
dog like a wolf, like this
Yes.
evolutionary
Yes.
diet, right? And
Yes.
so very likely, and that was around the time I know I started feeding real food to my pets. So like I think it was just this movement that everybody was talking about, dogs don't need grains, right? And
Yeah.
so it was an open market for
Well, yeah. Little
people.
regulation.
I mean, like nobody was making food that all of these people who all of a sudden, and granted, at the time it was like 4%. It hasn't increased that much, but I mean, I remember it being somewhere around 4% of pets were being fed fresh food diets around that 2010 time frame. And that's not insignificant. Obviously, it was significant enough that there's enough money there that kibble manufacturers said, or people who were looking to get in the pet food market said, let's capitalize on this. These people who are all about feeding their dogs in a species appropriate diet, which means they don't need grains, how can we make this work? I would imagine. That's my thoughts.
I guess we always say like dogs are what 98% genetically wolves or whatever. We see those statistics all over the place, right? So I guess, but I have a hard time thinking that like a whole pet food manufacturer would come in and disrupt an industry that's, a feed industry that's like so long established without some kind of proof. Did we just all believe that like the marketing?
I
Because
mean marketing,
I don't know. I don't remember. I can't tell you, but I remember going to pet sitters conferences and I remember one very specific person. Could not tell you her name. I don't believe she's around anymore because I've never seen her again. I think this was in Orlando in 2010, the NAPS Pet Sitters Conference. And she educated us on EWG, so Environmental Working Group. She was the first person whom I ever heard say in a public setting that like plug-ins were toxic, that they were literally causing cancer. And she also said that garlic was safe for our dogs. And she also said that our dogs, that cats should only be eating wet food. And she also said that you'd never see a wolf out in the wild with a corn husk in his mouth. And I'm like, maybe you would though, right? You probably would. I mean, if it's
I
my dogs,
mean,
you probably
yeah.
would. But if they had to
The
cho choose
choice.
between a live chicken and some corn in a field somewhere, or some fruit, or some anything, peppers, they're gonna choose the live chicken. They're gonna choose the rodent. They're gonna choose whatever is there that is actually, nutritious. Because at the end of the day, our pets are smart. They want nutrients because
Yeah.
they want to survive. They want to thrive. They want to feel good. They're much more in touch with their bodies than we'll ever be. So that was in 2010. And other than, like, I don't remember anybody giving me studies, but I feel like all of us were like immediately switching to grain-free if we weren't already. My dogs were already, I don't know, like maybe three at the time. So Socks was already on the hills, and Titan was on whatever I was feeding him, and I believe it was grain free, and he lived to 15 and a half on grain free diets. I mean, granted, he did get fresh foods a lot, and he for 3 years, 4 years only ate homemade raw. So yes, that helped him, but for many years he was fine, and he definitely never died of any kind of heart issue. His you know, he had degenerative myelopathy, DM, or something like that. So it's interesting to me that I can't find research for grain-free diets, and I can't obviously find valuable research against grain-free diets. So like, is that to me just says that our industry, this industry is so I guess unregulated, because like,
Yes,
where are the
that's
actual
true.
studies that we should be actually looking at? The complete studies, the good studies,
Well,
the ones that are not paid for by the company selling the products.
but okay. Let's go back to, let me get the actual numbers, but let's go back to what we are basing our pet food on, as far as the studies go, because I think Judy Morgan just recently posted about this. Let me find the actual, I know some of the statistics, but I want to find all of
Yeah,
the
and she
statistics.
talks a lot about this because she and The Truth About Pet Food, they go to these meetings where they're
Yes.
literally discussing
Emissions.
how much carcass can
Yes.
be, you know, how much rotten carcass can be allowed in these formulations, legally
Right.
allowed. So
Right.
they're discussing all of that, and that's, you know.
You know what? Oh, is it this one? No. I can't find it. But anyway, a feeding trial for a pet food is, I don't remember the exact number, but it's under 40. I want to say it's like 20 something.
Dogs.
Dogs have
Okay.
to eat the food for 6 months
Not die within the trial.
and not die. But even some of them can die. I
Yeah,
want to say it's like 80%
they're old, they can die.
have
Yeah,
to,
they can die of natural
80,
causes or something.
80%, I want to somewhere around 80% have to live through the 6 months of eating this food. That's your feeding trial. Boom,
Done.
that food goes to market.
That's the problem. So this whole issue with grain-free diets, the demonizing of these brands, the very poor study that was conducted to find correlation, causation, all of this is just a symptom of a much bigger problem, which is we as consumers are being played by pet food manufacturers, by the FDA, by the Department of Agriculture, by all these entities that are supposed to be looking out for us as consumers. We're being played. So, like, what's the solution? We're not going to stop adopting pets. We're obviously not going to stop feeding them. So, what do we do?
I know. It is really sad. And it's like my initial reaction is to say, yeah, I know. Every animal, here's the thing. I want to get to that, but I want to answer this Sarah and Simba about any dog in a rescue or a shelter. They are going to be fed some kind of kibble. Like that's just how it is. And so I don't, as much as I don't like the kibble industry, it does feed animals. So in hopefully temporary situations like this, it's what these places have to do to get through, to
Yeah.
get these animals. And I wish it weren't that way. I really do. I also wish that we valued our pets more as a society, to where we didn't have shelters overrun with animals and putting them in these situations where, I mean, it's the same thing. Like if we were homeless and had no food,
Yeah.
we'd be eating any junk that we could get too.
Well, I mean,
And so it's
the standard American diet is
is
created
junk
junk,
for
and
sure.
there are, you know, like there are vegetable deserts and grocery deserts
Yeah.
in a lot of
Yeah.
areas within the United States. So this is not, unfortunately, only about pets. I mean,
Yeah.
our food is probably our biggest issue.
Yeah.
And here we are discussing all sorts of other things in a presidential election, but nobody's bringing food or food scarcity
Yeah.
or food quality
Yeah.
to any discussion, because they
Right.
just assume we're going to keep eating the crap and feeding the crap. I mean,
Absolutely.
my dog eats kibble, and she eats 50% kibble, because financially and just time, I can't do any more than that. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of discussion recently about, the privilege that comes with, being able to feed, a better diet. And, the size of your dog matters too. That's one of the reasons I
Yeah.
want, a smaller dog in the future, so that I can afford to feed them better. If you have, five big dogs, nobody's judging you
Yeah.
for only being able to feed a certain quality of kibble. That is it. I'd much rather they eat junk than get euthanized in a shelter, truly, if I
Right.
have to make that
Yes.
choice. So this is definitely not a matter of, making people feel bad. This is a matter of, for me, it's always bringing this information to the public so that the public can get mad, so the
Yes.
public can demand better, so
Right.
that the public knows what questions to ask, because we don't know as consumers what we don't know a lot of the
Yeah.
time. And this is really infuriating, because they
It
have
is.
changed the culture of the pet industry completely based on nothing, and
Yeah.
our pets are still suffering. We're still confused. Veterinarians are being, crucified for speaking out, or they're being they're being, their hand, they're, what is it? They're being
The
incentivized to speak
yeah.
on behalf of these pet food manufacturers. So it's really corrupt, and it's not okay. And there's no end in sight. I mean, even though we're becoming better pet parents, the pet food industry is not improving.
Well, I think there are some signs of improvement, but it has to happen because we force it to happen. They're not going to do it of their own volition. They're not going to say, "Hey, let me improve the quality of the chicken
Right.
that I'm putting on this food."
Let
No,
me change
ain't happening.
my, yeah,
Right.
like my, I guess, costs. Let me
Yeah.
raise my costs just to be
Right.
nice. No, we
Not
gotta demand
happening.
that. Yeah.
Absolutely not happening. It only happens when the market says it has to happen.
Yeah.
So even if you're not able financially to be able to feed a better diet, a the base of the diet, I think there's always things we can do, whether that is, scraps from what we're preparing for our own family that we can add to the bowl and things like that. But yeah. I mean, even if you're not able to do more as far as the base diet, you can be out there helping spread awareness, and you can be a voice that is pushing change in the market because our pets deserve it. But to go back to what you were asking, I mean, my initial thought is I would love for people to just, when they see information like this, when they see how poorly pet food really is regulated and how, the crap they put on the shelves. Like I always, and we were talking about what's going on with Purina right now a few weeks back, and 100% my hope is always that pet parent over here, that pet parent over there sees it and does better for their pets because it wakes them up, waking up more people. No matter what it is that you do better, because there's always, I mean, I'm improving still. Like
One would
I've been
hope.
on this journey for over 10 years now, and gosh, it's almost 14 years. Wow. And I'm still every single day trying, to learn and do better. So there's always room for improvement, but like what can you do today to improve? What can you add into your social media feed to educate yourself more every day? Like instead of looking at funny cat memes all day long, can we add some source of education into our social media feed? Like just that like awakening.
Yeah,
That's my hope for
I
every
agree.
single one
I
of
agree.
these.
And the thing is, we're obviously preaching to the choir because the people who are
Yeah.
joining here. And by the way, I apologize. It's not showing me whomever's on. It doesn't show me if there's questions. I
Oh
don't see anything. It literally just tells me request to
no.
join. So it froze. But you
Okay.
guys can see me, right? So that's good.
Yes.
But I feel like the more we speak to these particular people who are already interested, who already know you and me, like we just need them to diffuse it because we've
Yeah.
already reached you guys.
Yeah.
So obviously thank you for following us and joining us for these conversations, but make sure that you are kind of like that echo, you're
Yeah.
echoing that
Right.
information, whatever, you know, see feels true to you and
Yeah.
whatever resonates with you. Before we wrap up, because of who you are, Jessica is a pet nutritionist. She focuses on, like you said, studying this every day. If you had
Yes.
to, if a pet parent today asked you, should I feed grain-free or grain-inclusive, that those are my two options. They can't do anything else. What would you say?
Oh Lord. Gosh, it depends on the brand, but likely
Got
it's
it.
not gonna make it likely isn't gonna make that huge of a
Got it.
change
Yes.
as far as like the actual nutrition and the quality of
So you
ingredients.
would be more concerned with the brand that they were choosing rather than the formula at this point.
Well, no, I mean the formula is important, but as far as like is it grains or is it legumes? It's
Okay.
the quality of the ingredients.
Yes.
It's the what like how much of what ingredient. And that's where a lot of the
The
brand play comes
protein,
in.
right? The
Yeah.
protein, the amount of protein, of
Yeah.
course. Okay, and then last question for you. The truth about pet food, do you recommend it? That mo the no, this is the movie. No,
Petfold.
Petfold.
Oh my gosh,
Yes,
yes.
you
I think
recommend
it
it.
should be like required if you adopt or buy an animal.
It's true. It really is so eye-opening. It's so depressing, but
Is
yes. Oh, and
that.
the truth about pet food, we love that site, so
Yes,
definitely highly recommend.
absolutely.
I meant to
Love
ask
Susan.
about Petfold.
Yes,
Yes.
Petfold. And then if you get through Petfold and you're like, OMG, what in the world is happening in my life right now? Then immediately go watch the dog cancer series.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
yeah, that's
And here
another
we
one.
are focusing on grain-free versus grain-inclusive when which we should be doing is focusing on how we can help dogs live longer, how we can reduce
Yes.
environmental exposures to toxins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So these are just, I feel
Yeah.
like we're just full of diversions in this world,
I
and this is
know.
probably one of them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me if it's grain inclusive or grain free, meaning some sort of
Yeah.
legume inclusive. That doesn't matter so much to me as the quality of the ingredients, the proportion of the ingredients, and if that is your base of nutrition for your pet, what can we add to the bowl to improve it? That is so much more important to me than does it have grains or does it not have grains?
And you're a big fan of sardines, right? So
Yeah.
that's a really good, easy way to top the bowl, and it's sold cheaply at
Very cheap.
Costco and Sam's Club. I mean, if you can stand the smell,
Walmart.
your dogs are
Yeah.
gonna love
Oh my
and your
gosh.
cats too.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
And I mean that eggs, please.
Yes, eggs.
Please. You're chopping up how much waste do you have when you chop up a head of broccoli? Chop that up
So
for your dog.
much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do things that we can do that we're already doing at home, and we can just include our pets in it. My
Yes.
pets, my dog's, when Socks died, she was 12 years old, and I was super strict. I was always like, we have to stay to only kibble, no people food, no anything, because that's what we were told, right? And I felt so guilty when she passed and she was too sick to actually enjoy her like goodbye meal. So it taught me that I really wanted to improve the bowl every day and not wait for that like send off. So if anybody's kind of like where I was, where you're like, oh, I have to be super strict, like, you know, a little flexibility, you know, retraining the brain and a reminder that they're not going to always be with us. So like, let them have a little fun here and there with a little, you know, scrambled egg or even a raw egg, or
Yes.
any kind of, leftover that you have that's not super spiced and super salted, you could potentially just give it a quick Google. Is it safe for dogs? Like both my pets love avocados. I obviously don't feed a ton of them because one, they're expensive, and two, my kids usually eat all of it. So like when they leave a couple pieces, that's a treat for Akira and she loves it. So before throwing anything away, think about giving it to your pets. As long as it's safe, and very likely it will not affect their stomach, even though somebody somewhere told you that
Oh my gosh. I know we should do a whole episode on like myths,
Oh my
busting
God,
myths.
this, but yes, food myth busting. Let's do that next week when we're together.
Okay, I was
Yeah.
thinking we would I
Oh, you
was
want something
gonna
else?
well I was gonna do like a kind of like I want to say like a spoof of what you do and like ask you a whole bunch of questions about the conference, but
Oh, yes. Oh, we could talk about the conference for sure, for sure. But we also have, I have two conferences coming up. So next week's is sold out. It's the Texas Pet Sitters Conference. It's in Dallas from Friday to Sunday, in Louisville, Texas. And then the weekend after, it's the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters Conference. That one is in Savannah. And I do believe they still have tickets. So anybody who's in that area, whether you're a dog trainer, dog walker, pet sitter, I don't know about grooming, how much you're going to get out of it, but like any service industry in the pet industry, it's a great conference. There's a ton of topics lined up, speakers lined up, and we do not speak about pet sitting and dog walking. We talk about business. We talk about social media. We talk about growing your business. We talk about, pricing your business. All those things that would help anybody. So anybody who's interested in the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters Conference, I do believe you can still get tickets. You have to be a member, but there is so much benefit to joining NAPS, and it's very affordable. I think it's maybe $150 for the year. They have a ton of resources, so it's totally worth it, especially if you're in that area nearby. So definitely think about that if you are in the pet industry as a service industry. And yeah, we can do whatever you want next
Maybe
week.
we'll do both. Maybe we'll do like our Monday, we'll do like pet food myths or yeah. And then like your Wednesday happy hour, maybe I'll just like infiltrate your Wednesday happy hour.
Let's do it. Okay, so you guys get to see us twice next week. We're gonna do the weekly pet roundup together in Dallas, and then on Wednesday we'll do happy hour in Dallas together. So mark your calendars. They'll be both at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, 4 p.m. Central. You do the math on the other ones.
I
But yeah, we appreciate you joining us for this conversation. And if you have any comments,
Thanks.
I did not see any of them. I'm sorry. Like I
Yeah,
just it
no,
froze on
there was
me.
just the one about all the animals in the shelter being fed hills. And yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, the truth is that's, I mean, that is what feeds the majority of pets. So, we just got to do the best we can do to educate pet parents and hopefully keep more pets out of that shelter system and then feed them
Yeah,
better when once they are.
and I want to add one more thing before we wrap up is that when Socks, my dog, was put on CD, pill CD, it actually was a lifesaver because she was urinating constantly. We knew she was potty trained, but she could not hold her bladder. She did have crystals. This, whatever it was, formula did solve the problem, but obviously by creating others. So if you are in that position where you are desperate and you need to switch to this because your veterinarian says so, by all means, follow your veterinarian's instructions, but just know that there might be other people or other veterinarians out there, maybe not in your area, but online, that can help you make better decisions. So just because you're feeding hills doesn't make you a bad pet parent. Just because you needed a solution like I did and you chose that solution and you went with that solution, like harmony in the home is so important. By all means, solve the problem. But then, kind of if you can, if your budget allows, if your time allows, look for other solutions that you can change to, long term. So just remember
Yeah,
that there's no
because
judgment here.
yeah, the amount of money you're putting in that prescription diet, and just in that instance alone, where you're talking about the crystals in the urine, I mean, you can get a pack of 200 pH test strips on Amazon
Yes.
for $10, and figure out what's going on with your dog's pH and adjust their food accordingly to get it
Exactly.
back into balance.
Yeah.
So there is so much more that you can do. I
Yeah.
just kind of
No.
hijacked
It's true. No, it's true. But I mean, I just don't, I hate that,
Yeah.
you know, I feel like sometimes pet people like us
Yeah.
sit on this high horse of like,
Yeah.
oh, I do it right.
Right.
And we do it right when we can.
Right.
And not just because it feels right now doesn't mean that my dog's not gonna, you know, get sick and develop something that I know nothing about and I'm gonna have to start from zero.
Yeah.
But I feel like pet parents get turned off by thinking that we just sit here and criticize what they do.
Yeah,
Like,
no.
that's not at all the
Oh,
goal for
kibble.
us to.
Yeah, kibble feeds the, I mean,
Yes.
so many, the majority of pets that we have
Yes.
to be able to just help people who are on that diet, are feeding those types of diets, understand, like, when you know what it is, then you can even want to make, like, so many people don't
Right.
even realize
Yes.
that
Yes.
there's room for improvement. And there are plenty of people who are in positions that, you know,
Yeah.
they can make improvements. They just
Yes.
need to know.
They don't know. They
Yeah.
didn't know. They don't need to. They don't know how to word start.
Yeah.
Last thing too is, you know, we need to keep, if you have any recommendations, anybody who's listening, on how we can help push the big pet food manufacturers to do better for us as consumers. If there's any groups out there that we can support that are trying to do this, by all means, let us know, because I would be happy to join any group that's trying to be more vocal about, you know, the standards, the minimum standards that we should be setting for pet foods. Like, that's, it's not, it doesn't exist, and we should be there. We should be trying
Yeah.
to get there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's hard. It's really hard. I know
Yeah.
Steve Brown, Karen Becker, Susan Thixton are looking right now at, I don't know where they are in the process of studying, you know, the whole feeding less. That was the other thing that came out of this whole DCM thing is, if you're feeding less than what the bag says to feed, are they actually getting all the nutrients that APCO says they need every day? Because so many animals do go into the vet hospital and the veterinarian says your dog is overweight, feed them a quarter less or whatever. And because all of those nutrients are coming from synthetics, are they getting what they need? Are they nutrient deficient because
Right.
we're
What
telling them to feed
I
less?
mean, just based on common sense, no, they're not.
Right.
I mean, right? Like,
Yeah.
if my dosage for a medicine is 25 milligrams and I'm only taking
Right.
20, am I taking what I need? No.
Right. And that wouldn't be the case if you were feeding, say, a whole rabbit to an
Right.
animal. Like there, you may cut back the calories when you have a whole food diet and you say feed a quarter less, you're cutting calories, but you're not cutting nutrients.
Right.
Whereas with the synthetic vitamins and minerals in these commercial kibble and canned food
Each
diets.
kibble has exactly,
Yes.
supposedly, exactly the
Right.
same amount of these ingredients. So, like, it's different with a, you know,
Right.
whether you're eating liver or heart or whatever, you're getting different nutrients from that organ
Yeah.
that organ's always going to give you no matter what. So, yeah, I mean, it's a
Right.
totally different feeding method. And I would assume that they're going to find that, yeah, it's very dangerous to just willy-nilly take these dogs off their full portion. Really, really, and of course it can have secondary, you know, issues like heart issues and
That's, yeah,
kidney issues and all
that
these things that
was,
we're seeing.
yeah, very interested in where that goes.
My goodness. All right, well, thank you guys for joining us. If you have the
Yes.
time, check out Pet Fooled, the movie. We are not in any way associated with them. We just want to arm you with information, which is why we do the weekly pet roundup and why we're so passionate about all these topics that we bring to you. So thank you for joining us, and you guys
Yes,
have an
thank you.
awesome rest of the
Yes,
week.
see you next week. Bye.
Bye.